Take your scriptures in hand. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. We're continuing our series, Love Unrivaled. And this morning's message is titled, Forever Love, Forever Love. You know, in the classic, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, a teenage orphan who lives with her dog, Toto, and on a farm with her family, her aunt and uncle in Kansas, spends the first part of the movie trying to get away from home. And then she's caught up in a tornado, and she's knocked unconscious and begins dreaming of being blown away in this tornado to a strange and magical place called Oz. And after arriving in Oz, as many of you are familiar with the story, she spends the whole time there trying to find her way back home to Kansas. And finally, she discovered that she has always had the ability to go home anytime she wanted. All she needed to do was to click the heels of her ruby slippers 3 times and say that there's no place like home, there's no place like home, there's no place like home. And there she appeared back in Kansas on her farm and was happily reunited, surrounded by her family. And truly, there is no place like home. Home is a word that holds a special place in everyone's heart. If you had a good home growing up, it's a place that we hold dear, and it holds many wonderful, warm memories for us. Some might not have had the privilege of growing up in a happy or loving home, but their hearts somehow still long for what they did not have. There's a touching commercial that features foster children in Miami. In that commercial, each one of them shares how they're hoping to find a forever home. And something inside of each of us longs for a place of unconditional and unending love where we find true belonging, acceptance, and lasting relationship. Jesus promised that he is preparing a place, a forever home, for each and every one of us. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. We're going to stop reading there at the moment. You know, Jesus had been talking to his disciples, his closest friends, preparing them for the fact that he was about to go to the cross and give his life as a sacrifice, and that he would no longer be physically present with them as he had been. And as the truth began to sink into their hearts and minds, they became very disturbed, very distressed. They loved him, and they had left everything to follow him. And to hear that he was leaving them must have felt like the bottom fell out on their lives. They felt confused and abandoned, wondering, what would they do now? Where would they go? What would happen to them? And Jesus, understanding the heaviness of their heart, comforts and encourages them by telling them, in essence, that he loves them and that he would not leave them, as we read on in the chapter, he would not leave them orphaned, if you will. But he tells them here that there's coming a time when they will never be apart again. They will be together forever in heaven, which he refers to as my Father's home. Home is such a special word, as we have been seeing. It's a word that touches the very depths of our heart. Whether we had a happy home or not, there is something inside of us that longs for home, because we know that home represents a place where we are always loved, where we're always welcome, and where we are never forgotten. Heaven is particularly special as our home because it is God's home. It's where Christ lives, and it is promised as our forever home. These verses that we just read have long been some of the most favorite verses of God's people because they provide a wonderful view of heaven, our forever home. And the first thing I want us to see is our forever home is forever with Christ. You see, there's a saying, home is where your heart is. And when we say that, we mean that home is not a house. It's not a building. It transcends a physical place. But home is really about loving and being loved. In Jane Eyre's Charlotte Bronte's novel, the lonely heroine has never known a place that she could call home. Eventually, she falls in love with her boss, Edward Rochester. And when she has to go and visit a dying relative, he doesn't want to let her go because he's afraid that she won't come back to him. And she assures him and comforts his fears by saying, "Wherever you are is my home." And when you love someone, you want to be with them. You're at home with them. And Jesus said he wants to be with us forever. When you love someone, your heart aches when you are separated from them. And that's why we experience such sorrow when we lose a loved one. My parents were married for 55 years, and they may not have had a perfect marriage, but they loved each other. And they did everything together. I mean everything. They went to the grocery store together. If Dad needed a tool at Home Depot, Mom had to go with him. If he was going to fill the car up, Mom had to go with him. They did everything together. And Dad went to be with the Lord in 2013, and my mother still misses him. And she was with me a few months ago, and I went to pick up something at Home Depot while she was with me. And as we're driving into the Home Depot parking lot, she says, "You know, Home Depot always reminds me of your father," because that was his second home, if you will, because he was very handy and he was always working on something. He was always fixing something. And whether he needed a screw or he needed a saw, Mom had to go with him to Home Depot. So the moment we drove on the parking lot, it sparked that memory of Dad. Little things happen and it triggers a memory. Because even after 55 years and him being gone now for 4 years, she still misses him. Now, thankfully, he knew the Lord, and so we have the assurance that we will one day be reunited together with him. But the point is that when you love someone, you never want to be separated from them. When you love someone, wherever they are, that's home. When you love Jesus, wherever he is, is home for us. It's where we long to be. On this earth, we long for those times of worship and prayer when we experience his presence in such real and tangible ways. These wonderful experiences of his Holy Spirit are a foretaste, the Bible says, a foretaste of what it will be like to be in his presence forever. You know, if you ever go in the grocery store and they're promoting a new item or some item that's on sale, they have a little tasting table sometimes. How many of you know that? Amen. And they're offering little samples, little tastes to everybody. And their hope is that you will taste it and you will love it so much that you're going to go and buy, a package and take it home with you. Well, the Holy Spirit is that sample. It's that foretaste. And God knows that when we experience the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." When we experience the Holy Spirit, we're going to want the whole shebang. We're going to want to be in God's presence completely and fully. Hallelujah. Thomas Adams wrote, "Our mind is where our pleasure is. Our heart is where our treasure is. Our love is where our life is. But all of these, our pleasure, our treasure, our life, is found in Jesus Christ." Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Home is where the heart is. My heart is with Christ. Where is yours? Hallelujah. Heaven is where Christ is. You know, throughout the New Testament, being with Christ is the central appeal, the central draw, the central attraction of heaven. Here in John 14:3, Jesus says, "When everything is ready, I'm going to come and get you so that you will always be where I am." Jesus comforted the dying thief on the cross by saying, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Paul similarly described the believer's death, saying, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Facing execution, Paul wrote the Philippians about his own death, saying, "I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ." He didn't say, I long to go and walk on streets of gold. I long to go and walk through pearly gates. Or I long to go and have a mansion. He said, I long to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. Do you think that way? Do you think that being with Jesus is far better than being down here on earth? He says, but for your sakes, it is better that I remain here. And he comforted believers who were grieving over lost loved ones in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 by explaining that we would one day be reunited with Christ and with our loved ones when the trumpet sounds and when Christ returns to catch the church away. He says that together with them, the them is the believers who have died before. He says, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. And so he's encouraging believers who are grieving over their lost loved ones. And he's telling them, this is not the last time that you're going to see them. There's a time coming when the trumpet is going to sound. You're going to hear the shout of the archangel. And Jesus himself is going to descend in the clouds. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in this grand reunion in the sky. And we will be forever together, never to be separated again. What a wonderful hope. No wonder the Bible calls it the blessed hope of the believer. Now, folks, heaven is a glorious place, and its beauty is virtually indescribable. John in the book of Revelation describes how the streets are paved with gold, the sea is crystal, and the gates are huge, and they are one great pearl, each gate. But none of that would mean anything if Christ was not there. The hymn writer expressed the sentiment well in the words of the hymn, "Heaven for Me." He says, "I've heard of a land that is wondrously fair. They say that its splendor is far beyond compare. In that place that's called heaven, my soul longs to be. For where Jesus is, it will be heaven for me." And the chorus says, "Heaven for me, heaven for me. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. All its beauty and wonders I'm longing to see, but Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me." Hallelujah. That's why as a believer you can't lose. The best life on this earth is loving Jesus and knowing him. And what is to come is even better because we will know him in all of his fullness. We know him in part now, but we will know him in all of his fullness and glory. And we shall be together with him forever. Hallelujah. As spectacular as heaven will be, its greatest attraction is that we will see Jesus face to face, that we will know him fully even as he knows us, and we will never again be separated from him who loves us and whom we love. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Our forever home is forever with Christ. And then the second thing we see is our forever home is filled with joy. Revelation 21, 3 and 4 says, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live for them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all of their sorrows and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain.'"
All suffering and the things that cause us hurt and pain here on earth will be passed away. They will be done forever. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. But folks, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience God's goodness. He is good right here. He is good right now. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. All the joys of those who take refuge in Him. This is what the psalmist has said. Folks, if we know what it is to have our sins forgiven and to be called a child of God, then we have tasted of His goodness. Hallelujah. And because we have experienced His goodness, we have reason to rejoice right now, right here. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. If we know what it is to be going through a trial and be able to call out to Him and find help and strength and hope and peace, then we have tasted of His goodness right here, right now, and we have reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. If we know what it is to have had a prayer answered or experience His peace in the time of trouble, then we have tasted of His goodness. Hallelujah. And we have reason to rejoice right here, right now. Hallelujah. Peter tells us that there is a wonderful joy ahead. Though, he says, for a time we may endure trials. But because we believe, he said, we should be rejoicing right now with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Folks, His goodness is reason to rejoice right now. But just wait until we get to heaven. The joys that we experience in Him now will not compare with the joy that we will experience in heaven. Hallelujah. I read the story of a well-respected man who died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120 years old. He had a wonderfully cheerful disposition. That's what everybody said who knew him, which of course, no doubt, probably contributed to his longevity. But one day while he was working in his garden, he was singing praises to God. And his pastor was passing by. And he said, "Brother, you seem very happy today." The man said, "Yes, I was just thinking." The pastor asked, "Thinking about what?" "Oh, I was thinking that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will the great loaf in glory be like? I tell you, Pastor, there will be enough for everyone and more to spare up there." Hallelujah. Folks, we're just experiencing the crumbs from His table, and it is good. It is truly wonderful. Hallelujah. I can't wait till we get it all in heaven. Hallelujah. Heaven is not only a place where there is no more sorrow and pain, but heaven is a place of great joy and satisfaction. In Psalm 16:11, he says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever." The joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. Some people have the mistaken concept that heaven is going to be a boring place. And that could not be further from the truth. Heaven is a place of indescribable joy. The New Testament writer says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is a place of indescribable joy and never-ending pleasure in the presence of the Lord. You know, we enjoy a lot of things on earth. But do we forget that our God is a God of infinite creativity? Just look at what He created. He didn't just create one kind of animal. Scientists have named 1.5 million distinct species of animal. And each one of them is so different. When He created flowers, He didn't just make one kind of flower. Botanists tell us that there are more than 240,000 different kinds of flowers here on earth. 240,000. when he created humans.
He didn't create just one kind of human and we're all carbon copies. He created humans in all kinds of colors and sizes and variations and personalities.
No two of the 7.5 billion people living on Earth today are the same, even down to the minutest detail of the little lines that compose our fingerprint.
No two are the same.
A God that incredible, a God that creative, can never be boring.
Hallelujah.
If God took such care to create this world, which is temporary, with such beauty, with such wonder, with such variety, we cannot even imagine how glorious our eternal home will be.
We'll never tire of exploring heaven, because there's always going to be some new wonder for us to see.
Do we forget that all the breathtakingly beautiful places on earth that people pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to travel and go and see on vacation were created by our God? Do we forget that God created music in heaven before we ever heard the likes of Mozart or Beethoven or Bach? I won't name many contemporary artists because, well, anyway. Have you ever stood? Now, I don't call some of what they put out today music, but I call it noise. A lot of noise, but anyway, that's another sermon for another day. But have you ever just stood in awe of the beauty of a sunset? Do we forget that it is God who paints the skies with the radiant beauty of the purples and the oranges and the yellows? That's our God, the master artist. All the artists on earth, they only try to capture on canvas what God created. It's a replication, but God is the master artist. Heaven's beauty will be eternally breathtaking. And some people think that heaven's going to be boring because we're going to be sitting around on clouds, strumming harps, and doing nothing for eternity. Not at all. God knew that we needed meaningful work to have a sense of purpose and fulfillment. God gave Adam and Eve work in the garden, and it was fulfilling and joyous before sin entered into the garden. When sin entered, that's when work became tedious and frustrating. In heaven, we're going to have meaningful work, purposeful work. But there's not going to be any tedium. You're not going to get tired. It's not going to be burdensome. It's not going to be frustrating. We won't say, oh, more work. We don't know specifically what our work will be. But we do know that the scripture says that we will be ruling and reigning with him. We'll be ruling over angels. We'll be reigning together with Christ. That's certainly not insignificant work. But even if we were given the task of sweeping the streets of heaven, work will be a glorious blessing that will bring great joy and satisfaction to our soul because we're doing it for the Master. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wonder why there is so little interest in heaven among God's people. Is it because we've put down such deep roots on earth that we are so attached to the things of this earth that heaven's splendor holds no attraction for us? Folks, Paul says it is far better to depart and be with Christ. Nothing that we have in this world can compare, can even come close to what God has prepared for us. I like what someone said. When he created this earth, and we've already talked about how beautiful this earth is, of course, before men messed up a lot of it. But when he created this earth, only took him 6 days. When Jesus left, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's been 2,000 years. If with 6 days, God could do all of this, hallelujah, what has he done in 2,000 years in preparation for us? Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Our forever home will not be boring. Truly, as Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We cannot even begin to dream or imagine the glory of heaven that God has created for us. But the most important truth about heaven is that Jesus loves us so much, he wants to spend all eternity with us. Our forever home is a place where we will be forever loved, accepted, and welcome. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. He is preparing a forever home for us. And when it is ready, he has promised that he will come back for us, that we might be with him forever. The only way that we can go to be with him for eternity is if we are living for him and loving him each and every day here on earth. Are you living for Jesus? And are you loving him? And do you love him so much that you would say it is far better to go to be with him than anything that this world has for me? Now, I remember the story of a little boy. The pastor was preaching, and he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Almost everybody put their hand up, except for a little boy that was sitting down on the front row. And so the preacher looked at him and said, son, why don't you want to go to heaven? He goes, oh, I want to go to heaven. I just thought you were taking a load up right now. I'm not taking a load up right now. But I'm asking you, do you love Jesus more than anything else in this world? And would you be willing, the moment he calls, to leave everything behind and say, Jesus, I want to be with you forever. How much do you love Jesus? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the comfort of your word to those who have lost loved ones and may still grieve in their heart, to know that one day we shall be at home with them and with you forever if they have died in faith. We thank you for the encouragement of your word that no matter what we go through here on earth, it will be worth it all one day when we see you and we go to be with you for eternity. Thank you for the wonderful promise of an eternal home in your presence. Father, I pray that Jesus would be the love of our life here on earth, that nothing on this earth would have a greater hold on us than the love of Jesus. I pray that every single one of us would live and love Jesus more and more each and every day until the day you come to call us home. Lord, touch every heart, every life with the truth of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.